I want to talk to you today a little bit about the spirit of faith. And as I said earlier, I don't see myself. I just want to go with the flow this morning, whatever the Holy Spirit wants to lay on my heart. That's what I really want to minister on. I haven't got no notes, no PowerPoint. I just want to sort of remind you of some things and encourage you with some things. Folks, it's so important that we have our spiritual eyes open and that we recognize that God is wanting to work. And God is working. Okay? And our duty, our responsibility is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we've got to find out what is God's program and get on that program. Not bring our program to God and expect God to get onto our program. That's not what it's about. And so our prayer and our desire and our heart's aspiration should always be, Lord, your will be done. And whatever your will is, that's what will be done. And so, faith plays a very important part. I think I spoke about faith before I left here. And you're going to hear me repeat a lot of things, especially coming up over into the new year. Because what I want to do is I want to set the scene and the grounds, okay? And we, together, need to set the atmosphere that God needs to work for various things to happen into our lives. Whether it's financial breakthrough, whether it's healing, whether it's relationship restoration, whatever it might be. I just want to remind you that God has your best interest at heart. He sees and he knows and cares about every concern that we go through. But it's so important. And I preached a message one time, and I think I'm going to do it again in the new year, about the importance about nailing, if you like, self-interest, you know, and self-promotion. It's so important for the flesh to be crucified. Because if it's not crucified, then guess what? It's living. It's resurrected. It's moving. And guess what? It will rule. And we don't want that to happen. Because if we live according to the flesh, we're going to reap according to the flesh. That's the word of God speaking. And so we've got to pay attention then to what the Word of God is saying. And we've got to say, Lord, if this is what you're saying, then this is not what we ought to be doing. So let me give you three things that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about, well, one thing I'm talking about the spirit of faith. Okay? And I'm going to give you three things that describes the spirit of faith. But before I do, let's redefine faith, because we all know what faith is. And you may talk. What is faith? Sorry, Chris?
Faith is my sentence. I was opening the sentence. Faith is...
Oh, you can close it as well. All right. You see, you guys, you're just going to quote me Hebrews 11, verse 1. No, I want you to tell me in your words, what is faith? Believing without sin. I like that one. Believing without sin. Okay, anybody else?
Faith is knowing that the battle is already won.
Anybody else? One more. You guys are struggling, man.
Believing that God will.
Okay. Or if you want to take it the next level up, believe that it's already done. Yeah? Firm persuasion. That's what faith means. The Greek word is pistis. I'm talking to you now, I'm not preaching, okay? The Greek word is pistis, okay? And that word means firm persuasion. It means to be fully persuaded, okay? So, if you're going to believe God, that's... All right. If you're going to be, let me, this is not a good example. Let me use it anyway. If you're going to believe God that you're going to have a hot cup of coffee or a hot cup of tea afterwards, you can't see the tea, you can't see the coffee, okay? But you're believing that after this service, you're going to go over there and you're going to get a hot cup of tea. Now, I don't see Leona, so we might be disappointed. But then Cara is here. And so is Simone. And so are you. Anybody can go into that kitchen. Thank God for those faithful ones that do that. But guess what? Every so often, and this is the way I want us to think about others, and every so often we can say, you know what, let me give them a break. Just go put your arm around them
See, I love you, my sisters, for what you've been doing faithfully over the months. But I'm giving you a break this week. Let me serve you. Amen. 2, 3, 4. I want us to have that. I want us to have that kind of thinking, okay, in going into the new year. And this takes us away from self-centeredness. When you're thinking about yourself, guess what? Yourself is going to be glorified. Yourself is going to be lifted up. Right? And when you're thinking about yourself, you're not thinking about anybody else or the impact of what you may even say or do that others may feel. And we can't be thinking like that. We need to be thinking differently. Is it okay if I just talk to you?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So when we talk about faith, I mean, yes, Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I like the amplified version though, because it blows it up quite a bit. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of things that we do not see and conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the, what Garfield mentioned, senses. Okay? So you can't see it, taste it, touch it, hear it, feel it, but you believe that it's going to happen anyway. We've got to be in that zone. We can't play church. You're playing church when you just come to go through the motions, you're watching your clock and you want to go home. You're playing church. And I'm not playing church. Lots of Christians everywhere are playing church. And I see it. In this country and in other countries. I see it. But God is searching out and taking out a peculiar people that are serious about his kingdom business. And those serious people are not swayed no matter what. So pain in my body, I'm going to church. And it's funny because I said that in the ministry. I ministered for 40 minutes on Sunday morning when I was talking about persistence in Jamaica. And one of the healings that occurred, one of the individuals said that actually I had so much pain in my head that morning that I wasn't going to go to church. But I said to the person, well, thank God that you did. Because they went to church, and during the preaching of the word, the pain went. They had it for quite, I don't know how long, but it sounded like it was quite some time. And during the preaching of the word, they testified that, you know, they were healed. And had they not come to church, maybe they would not have been healed. You understand what I'm saying? Because they're not in that environment to receive that word, that conviction that would help them, their faith to sort of believe and to take hold and take a claim of what God has already provided for them. All right, so that's the definition of faith. The spirit of faith, let me give you three things. Okay, the spirit of faith, number one, it sees. Come on, say with me, the spirit of faith sees.
The spirit of faith sees.
It sees. So when I talk about the spirit of faith, well, you know that you are a spirit, okay? And spirits see, okay? Spirits touch. Spirits communicate. Spirits move. Spirits understand, okay? There's a lot that spirits do. And when we talk about spirits, we're talking not just about us, but we're talking about ghosts as well. All right? They do exist. I believe they do. All right? The Bible speaks about that. All right. So now, a spirit sees, okay? And so therefore, we are spirit. We possess a soul, and we live in a body. In this day and age in which we're living, where the battle, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, the battle is so fierce, and I'm sure that you're sensing it around you anyway. It's fierce. And what the enemy is trying to do, as ever, is to cause you not to see what God wants you to see. God wants you to see yourself healed. The devil doesn't want that. God wants you to see yourself blessed. The devil doesn't want that. God wants to see you, okay, on the increase. The enemy doesn't want that. And so we have to always be aware. We're not becoming focused on the enemy, but we have to be aware that there is an enemy. Some Christians, it may wonder sometimes, man, when I hear people talk and say, oh, I don't like to talk about the devil. We shouldn't talk about the devil at all in church. And we shouldn't do it. Are you kidding me? Of course we should. The Bible says that we should know the wiles of the enemy.
And you can't know the word is a Greek word methodias, from which we get the English word method from. The Bible tells us to know the methods of the enemy. So how could you not study the enemy that the Bible is telling us to study? You got to know how he operates. Because if you don't know when he operates now, by the time you find out, you see him, it's too late. But if you know it's him, you say, oh, I see you, devil. I'm not going to go into that argument. I'm not going to backbite. I'm not going to talk. I'm not going to grumble. I'm not going to complain. I see the opportunity and the invitation that you're giving, but I'm not going to take it in Jesus' name. I'm not going to do anything to block my blessing and my healing if I need it and my financial breakthrough. I'm not going to do anything to ruin what God has already set up to come into my life. Are you with me here? So the spirit of faith sees, and it's so important that we see into the realm of the spirit what God has done, but also what he is doing and wants to do. Because God wants to bless you, but he needs your cooperation. Like I said earlier, he needs to do it on his terms. And so we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and we have to say, yes, Lord, I see you and I hear you. We need to not just see what's happening in the world, but we need to also perceive what God is doing in the realm of the spirit. As a matter of fact, William Blake, an 16th century English philosopher, he was a Christian, he said, a man cannot receive until he first perceives in the spirit what God has done for him. So you want healing in your body? You've got to perceive. You've got to see yourself heal. You want financial breakthrough? You've got to perceive. You've got to see yourself. You know, just close your eyes, man, or just lie back and just sit, picture yourself prospering. You want good relationships? Perceive yourself in good, healthy relationships. By the way, no matter how it looks, pain could be reeking through your body. Don't pay any attention to that. Pay attention to what God's word says. Can I get an amen? You want financial breakthrough, and it would seem like bankruptcy is there, and it seems like they're coming in, the repo man is coming in. Don't pay attention to that. Focus on God's word and say, Lord, I believe and I trust you. You know what? It is well no matter what happens. Amen. And sometimes, folks, let me say this, and I'm hoping to get this in the right spirit. Sometimes we've got to go through some stuff. And the stuff that we're going through is not nice. It's a little negative. But we have to go through that for two reasons, I believe, that comes to my mind right now. Number one, God doesn't use anybody he doesn't test. And number two, your promotion, that's the route to your promotion. So when you go through it, here's a third one, you never know who you're going to help. The same day, the same week, next week, next month, next year. You never know who God is going to put across your path that you will be able to help because you have gone through it. Never forget when a pastor and I, we used to meet up for lunch together. And I won't go into detail with this, but the very same thing. I went through something. And the thing that I went through those years ago was not nice. Was wrong, actually. Someone did me wrong. And I went through what I went through. I was treated, as a matter of fact, even other leaders, you know, agreed that the way I was treated was wrong. But I met up with this pastor, and the very same thing I went through, we met up for lunch. We do that every so often. Sometimes I go to his home, sometimes I used to work. This is years ago. I used to work up in the city. And sometimes he would meet me up there, and we just have fellowship. We just meet and talk, and just talk, just have fellowship and get to know one another, man. And one day, he, you know, we met up and at his home in this instance. And he began to describe to me some things that he was going through. And the very same things he was going through is the very same things I went through. So I was able to encourage him, and I was able to strengthen him and tell him what I did and tell him how God has helped me and strengthened me in the middle of it. I'll never forget this. His mouth was open, and it's almost like he could not believe that what I was saying is what I went through, which was the exact same thing that he was going through. So right there, we were able to sort of, I was able to encourage him more, but we encouraged one another because, you know, we were able to sort of, you know, you what I say, iron sharpens iron. We're able to meet and rub off on one another. You understand, and encourage one another. You never know who God is going to put across your path. Because it's not all about you.
So the spirit of faith sees, and it sees into the realm of the spirit. And so therefore we have to have our eyes open, and we have to recognize, and we have to be very perceptive with what is happening around. You see, that argument and that person picking at you at work, it's not just a random thing. It's the enemy working through that person to try to get to you. Listen, the devil will try to do anything he can to get to you. He wants to ebb at your faith. He wants to knock you down. He wants to stomp you. He wants to get... You know what he's after? He's after your focus. That's what he's after. And he wants your focus to move away from the word, away from the things of God. That's why the devil don't like when people come here. Because what you get here is the unadulterated word of God. We don't compromise. We give it straight. Okay? And we give it clear as we can. We give God's word because that's what God's people need. God loves you, has a plan for you. But there's an enemy out there who hates you and has a plan for you. But in Jesus' name, he's a loser. I said again, maybe I get a better response. In Jesus' name, the devil is a loser. That's better. He's a loser. So we've got to stand up and we've got to put him into his place. See him. See what he's up to. Say, I see you, devil, after my marriage. I see you after my kids. I see you. But in the name of Jesus Christ, that will not happen. Now, the spirit of faith, it just doesn't see. The spirit of faith acts. Okay? It acts. A-C-T-S. In case you didn't understand me. Okay? It moves. So, now we're talking about faith now. So, not only have you got to see the thing, but you've got to practice the thing. Okay? You've got to put it into practice. James 1 and verse 22 says, faith without works is dead. Alright? It is dead. Alright? So, but what did Paul say? Paul said, you show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. It is alive. It is active. It is demonstrated. No person can sit down and say, I have faith, and then that's it. Boom. Full stop. Without demonstrating that you have faith. So, if you have faith to believe that God is going to heal you, and He will, and He does heal. I don't care how long you have been sick and how long you've had it, you hang in there on that word, and you keep on at it until you see the breakthrough, or until the Holy Spirit tells you to stop and to begin to praise God. That's what you do. You hold on no matter what, whether it be years or Brian Bartimaeus was blind from birth. But one day he heard about Jesus. He knew, heard about Jesus, and then one day he heard he was passing by. And that man, he didn't let no crowd stop him. People tried to shut him up. He didn't let that happen. He just got up and he said, no, I'm going to reach out. Today's my breakthrough. If what I have heard about what Jesus of Nazareth is doing and what the things he's done for others, surely he can do it for me. And his faith, okay, got him the victory. That's what happened. His faith got him the victory, just like many other people in the Bible. The woman with the issue of blood, she had it for 12 years, spent everything that she had, no money left. And instead of getting better, the Bible says she grew worse. Right? But then she saw that Jesus was passing by. And what did she do? She moved. She acted just like blind Bartimaeus. He shouted, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He moved, he acted, and until he got Jesus' attention. And then Jesus provoked him by saying, what can I do for you? And then he just opened his mouth and confessed, used his words now to confess what he needed from God. And that leads me to the third point. I don't want to jump too quickly, because the spirit of faith, okay, just doesn't see, just doesn't act, but it says, S-A-S, it says, speaks, acts, and says. Okay? And I said S-A-S. Sees, acts, says. Yeah, the acronym. See, I'm way ahead of you. You thought I was spelling says, isn't it? No, that's not how you spell it. I was a cheater, you know.
All right. So, the woman with the issue of blood, she had to do that, man. She had to get up and she had to take action. Are you hearing, church? You're going to get up, you're going to take action. You're going into 2024, you're going to get up, you're going to take action. Listen, and I'm challenging all of you to do things differently. All of you to do things differently. I'm serious here. Because to the person who shows to God himself or herself to be serious, God will show himself to be serious. Because God is already serious anyway. When I say that, what I mean is he's got a business plan. And his business plan is your well-being. His business plan is you being fulfilled in every area of your life. His business plan is your purposes coming to the forefront. Okay? And being right. So don't let stuff, don't let circumstances, don't let people set you back. No matter what, you say to yourself, no matter what, I'm going to serve my God. You got a responsibility in your church. You stick to that responsibility and you determine, well, no matter what, this is what I'm going to do. Thank God. I'm speaking almost to the converted. Because I've got folk here who are doing just that. They're not swayed off by circumstances or by things. I mean, you guys lead worship like this, that this hall is full. And I love that. And I appreciate that very much. Can we give them a round of applause? Consistent, and they lead as if it's the place is full. And sometimes even in worship this morning, it's not a lot of us, but there they go. They just lead well week after week after week, and the enthusiasm and the energy. I'm telling you this, that God sees it, God knows it, and God is going to reward it. And this is what I pray, folks, and this is what you should be praying. I've been praying this over a particular person. All right, my mother, for some years now I've been praying this. Lord, let her see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. Yeah. Now she's already seeing it, and thank God she's seeing more of that. You know, but because my mother has worked hard over the years, just like a lot of other people. And sometimes when you put in it and you look, you don't see so much. You know what I'm talking about? You don't see so much. And I know what some of the things that she's gone through. I'm her first son. And I remember a lot and I know a lot. And there are times when I had to take responsibility, so to speak, in helping with my siblings, you know. But I've seen what she's gone through, and she's now 84. And going on, and she's a little weak in her knees, but I'm praying, and I have been praying, that she will live long enough to see the blessing of the Lord in the land of the living. Now thank God for the blessing of the Lord when we get to heaven.
Yes.
But I don't want to wait till I get to heaven before I receive that.
Amen.
No, I'm here.
Yes.
And I'm here now.
Yes.
And when people look at me, they must see, hey, that guy's blessed. I wonder how that happened. How did he get that? Well, not that we're into possessions. You understand what I'm saying? But people ought to look at us and see blessing. Look at us and see anointing. And where God calls, he anoints, by the way. So whatever he's called you for. And let me just say this. Sometimes when God calls us, the task that we're called to do is bigger than us. It's bigger than us. And that's deliberate by God, because he doesn't want you to depend upon yourself. He knows what you like. When I say you, I'm talking me too. All of us. He knows what we're like. Okay? And we can't do it by ourselves. We need God with us. And that's why I've been ministering a lot about workers together. And that's what's in the New Testament. That's what's in the Bible. That's the way God expects it. He doesn't expect you to do it by yourself. I'm not here standing up here doing things by myself. I'm doing it with the Lord. He wants me to do it with him. So I trust him and depend upon him every week when I minister here or wherever I minister. To touch my heart, to touch my lips, so that what comes out of my mouth is the right thing. Okay? For his people at that set time. So the spirit of faith acts. We've got to move. We've got to act. We've got to get up. We've got to demonstrate it. You've got to get up and you've got to demonstrate your faith. You've got to put it to action. You can't just sit down. Just like blind Bartimaeus, and just like the woman with the issue of blood, and many others. And I might go to a story if I have time. But the spirit of faith just doesn't see and act. It also speaks, or it says, okay? And that's so important, because faith is not released until it is spoken. And God never does anything until he first says it. Now you go in your Bible and you look and you will see that to be true. God says it first, then he does it. God the Father expects his children to be like him. So we're going to rise up in 2024 more than we have in 2023. And we're going to demonstrate the spirit of faith. We're going to see some things. God, the Holy Spirit will open our eyes to some things. And we're going to have the wisdom, that's important by the way, to know what to do with these things. Because some of the things you're going to see, maybe not nice. And you're going to, some of the circumstances that may occur may not be favorable, but you're going to need the wisdom of God. And you, by the way, you have it. You have access to it, should I say. Okay, you have access to the wisdom of God so that you will know exactly what to do, how to do it, when to do it, so that everything is done at the right time, in the right way, producing the right kind of results. Okay? So the spirit of faith sees, it acts, and it says, it speaks. And the Bible, and we've been teaching this for years, the Bible has so much to say about that. John 6:63 says, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." It's not just words. So be careful how you use your words. Be careful. Be careful what you release out of your mouth. Be careful what you say. Right? Because those words, okay, you know what they do? They create an atmosphere. They create an atmosphere. And if they are negative words, you know what's happening? You're creating a negative atmosphere. So therefore, you're making it difficult for the power of God to work. And we don't want to do that. We want to create the right kind of environment. And that's why we use the right language and we speak right. Even in your home, make sure when you're speaking with your spouse, when you're to your children, make sure that you're using your right tone and the right words. Now, there will be times, of course, if you're a parent, where you know you're going to be, and that's, I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a general atmosphere. And I know enough about that. There have been times, even in my home, where the atmosphere is not good. Anybody been there as well in their home? Not good at all. And I said, no, this has to change. And so we make whatever adjustments that is needed to change it. And you know what this word just dropped into my spirit? Let me mention it. Humility. Is such a powerful thing. Humility. You know, humility is just submitting your mission under the mission of another. And it's so important. And in the home, there is order. God made it that way and placed it that way. And if we're going to go into 2024 with God working in our families, we've got to be humble, submit to one another, respect the authority of the home, respect the order that God has placed there. And if you are a person of leadership, if you like, or authority in your home, don't take advantage of it or disadvantage of it now by abusing it. Don't lord it over people. Just like how the Bible says that, you know, shepherds shouldn't lord it, over the flock. We should not do that. But we've got to just humble ourselves, okay? Know what our place is. Know what, and your place may be a place of authority. And if you're a man, it is a place of authority. So use that authority in your home to command the blessing of the Lord over your home. Lead your family in devotion, in prayer. Lead your family. Now, the woman is a helpmeet, but that doesn't mean the woman should be pushing. If that's happening, something's wrong. And you've got to bring that correction. If you're a woman and you're a Christian and the man isn't a Christian, then that's something a little different where you're going to have to know how to balance things, but not do things in such a way that you're turning the man off from coming to church. Because you know what? Your bad behavior is going to blame it on the church. That's what he's going to do. He's going to blame it on the church. And so we're going to have, again, the right spirit. And the spirit of faith, it speaks right. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruits thereof. Proverbs 6:2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are caught by the words of your mouth. We want to go through 2024 with that verse not being applicable to us as far as possible. So be being measured with your words.
Sometimes somebody might say something and the flesh, you could feel it sometimes. I don't know about you, but I feel it. I feel the flesh coming up. I feel it coming up. And I feel it coming up. And then you just want to react. You want to open your mouth and you want to give them a piece of their mind. Piece of your mind. But you can't do that. You can't do that. When you give them your piece of your mind, you have no mind left. So you might as well just say, no. And just keep quiet. And quietly pray within and say, Lord, give me the strength and give me the wisdom. Sometimes that's what I've learned to do that over the years, just to keep, because I was, in the early years, I was, see, Joy's already laughing. I was ready to respond. And I've learned to sort of simmer back, and wisdom teaches you that through the years as well, to not be so reactive, because actually it is fleshly. And if we sow to the flesh, guess what? You're going to reap to the flesh. And you'll reap death and not life. All right. So, that's the spirit of faith. It sees, it acts, and it speaks. Okay? It says. So you've got to, the Bible says that you've got to speak to your mountain. So whatever difficulty, whatever your mountain could be sickness. As I said, it could be financial difficulty. It could be a relationship thing. It could be a job thing, a business thing. Whatever your mountain may be, the Bible says that we should speak to it. So we've got to talk now to our mountains. And when I say talk to your mountains, I'm not talking about your mountain. I'm not saying, having a conversation with your mountain. No, you're going to tell your mountain in Jesus' name, you will be made a plain in the name of the Lord. Are you hearing me, church? Listen, let me just say this to you. You have got to be in the spirit aggressive. You've got to be aggressive. The enemy is coming with everything that he can. To sway you off, to throw you off, to fight you off. He doesn't want you victorious. And you can't just be, oh, well, bless the Lord. Oh, I just pray. You've got to sometimes get up and you've got to grit your teeth and you've got to stomp your feet and say, no, in the name of Jesus, I see you, and that's not going to happen in the name of the Lord. No, you will not have any jurisdiction here. And I can't tell you the amount of times I say that. Sometimes, even in the realm of the spirit, I see things. Even at the office. When I'm at the office, I can know. I see both good and I see evil. I'm talking about with my eyes. These eyes. I see it. At time. And there are times when, if I'm honest, there are times when I see angels. And I feel that witness in my heart. That's what that is. And I don't talk to them, but I just say, Father, your angels are where you are welcome here, because they're God's angels. I don't pray to angels. But I say, Lord, your angels are welcome here. Thank you for surrounding me with them, Lord. Thank you for loving me. Thank you, Lord God, that they're looking out for me. And by the way, they're with you every point and everywhere you go. There are times when It's like I get little glimpses with these eyes, but then there's also a sensation that comes in. There are times when, I'm just there maybe in my bedroom watching my TV, and then I just have a strong sense that the angels of God are there with me. And so, you know what that causes me to do? Be very careful what I'm watching. Three gateways to your spirit: your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. So I've got to be careful, because you've got to be careful anyway. But, you don't want to do anything, just like with the Holy Spirit. You don't want to do anything to let the Holy Spirit be grieved, And you don't want to do anything so that your angels are grieved. And sometimes, I really believe this. I heard somebody say it years ago, and I just had, a strong thing in my heart without any physical evidence, that whatever we do, our angels do. If we lift up, we say, oh, praise God, our worship. Our angels do that. They praise God. If we lift our hands, the angels lift their hands. And from that time I heard that, I said to myself, no, if that is true, then I'm going to take every opportunity I get. And this is why I talk a lot about practicing the presence of God. To praise Him and to lift up the name of the Lord and to bless Him and just to exalt Him and just to make loud, audible declarations of the goodness of God. Because I know my angels are there and they're doing the same thing. What am I doing? Creating an atmosphere. That's what I'm doing.
creating an atmosphere conducive for the Holy Spirit to work. And God wants to work. All right, let me close. I'm going to close by going into... Go with me to Mark chapter 8. Let me close with a story from the Bible. And I think I shared this with you before, and I'm ending on this deliberately because I want you to grasp it. I think I mentioned this or mentioned this passage before I went to Jamaica, but I'm going back there. Mark chapter 8 and verse 22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Anybody remember that? And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him and asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he gave him instruction. He said to him in verse 26, then he sent him away to his house saying, neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town. And I've mentioned that because when you look, study the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ, he healed people differently. In this instance, he did not. The only time he spoke to the man was when he asked him, if he can see clearly. And the man said, no, I see men looking like trees or walking like trees. But he didn't give a command as such. What he did was he spat on the man's eyes. Then he touched his eyes. Nothing happened. And then he touched his eyes again. And then he received his healing. To my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the only time, to my knowledge right now, this is the only time where Jesus did something for someone to get healed and they weren't completely healed immediately. I can't remember, you correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember any other story. Apart from this one, where he had to touch his eyes a second time, and then the man was completely healed. And the problem I believed, okay, with this, is that the man was in a negative environment. Jesus had to take him. When they brought him to be healed, Jesus took him out of the village. Now, you've got to understand, Bethsaida and Capernaum, these large cities had various villages that were seen as part of Bethsaida back then in this story. So whatever village it was part of Bethsaida. So he took him out of that, okay? Took him out of the village altogether to heal him. He took him out of a negative environment to heal him. And when we look in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20, we see why he had to take him out. Because that verse says that city, Chorazin and Bethsaida, were just two, there were more, were two of the cities that were unrepentant. They saw great miracles. They saw great works done. But those cities were unrepentant. There was a spirit of unrepentance there. People who had done wrong and did not want to repent. That spirit existed. That atmosphere existed. Jesus knew it and said, no, I can't do that. I can't heal you here. I've got to take you out of this atmosphere. I've got to take you out of this place, okay, for you to receive your healing. You know that the Bible also says that Jesus at one point said that he could do no great miracles there. That's another place because of unbelief. Capernaum, was it? Because of unbelief. So we see then that these negative things, these words that look so small, are big and very important. If Jesus, the Son of God, could do no great miracles because of an atmosphere of unbelief, how much more you and I? And here, he could not heal it in an atmosphere that was charged with unrepentance, because these cities, these villages, these towns had seen the mighty works of God and did not repent. Did not repent. Still chose to go their own way. So the man, Jesus took him out of the village, healed him, and maybe some of that spirit that was upon him was taken out, which was why he did not receive his sight the first time when Jesus spat on his eyes and touched him.
He didn't completely get healed because maybe some of that environment still was on him. And so he touched him a second time and then he was completely healed. And Jesus said to him, don't go back there. And don't tell anybody what I've done back there. Don't go back there. In other words, don't go back into that negative environment. Don't go back into that place where there's unrepentance so that atmosphere can come upon you. That spirit can come upon you. Listen, as we go into 2024, let's go into 2024. I'm speaking like this now because next week is our Christmas service. And then we close until the new year. And we are going to fast as we usually do in the month of January. So the food service will be closed for part or most of January. Can't remember the dates, but it doesn't matter. We'll get them to you. And we're going to fast and we want to go into 2024 believing God for more and believing God for greater things than what we have seen in the name of Jesus. So are you with me, church?
Yes.
So we're going to not just wait, not just come and see, well, let me come and see what's going to happen. No, you're going to have to come and you're going to have to come with a different attitude, a different stance, with a different posture. And we're going to say, no, I'm going to bring the spirit of faith and I'm going to see what God says is for me and I'm going to act on it and I'm going to speak it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to say it until it comes. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to confess it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to release it. Release it out of my mouth. And so let's do that. Let's really come with that expectation and come with, believing God for great things to be done in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm going to stop right here. I could say more, but I'm going to stop right here.